I say that, that annoying laugh has followed us over from the other station. Then I got Jason Parrish doing the production here as well. 2 minutes and 13 seconds after the hour of 12 in this, the month of March in the year of our Lord, 2006. Live from the plushly appointed yet not overly ostentatious studios of Johnson 970. A proud part of the CBS radio family. Thank you for coming by, making a part of your listening day. It is the Rick Emerson Show.
I am he.
It's five. Do I have lots of processing on this mic today? I sound all kinds of extra masculine.
I saw the engineers at work again.
That's what
baby.
I'm talking about. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. That's your call-in number today. Continuing to be a little, I don't say we're overwhelmed. I don't want to say we're swamped. I don't want to say that we're... I want to put a positive spin on it. I want to say we're busy. We're busy. We're making things happen. We're being proactive. There's some corporate speak for you. We're being proactive and we're engaging in corporate symbiosis, streamlining our market actualities. 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. rick@rickemerson.com. I am running behind it. I got to get all this. I haven't got my browser open. I can't read anything. We'll see if this computer. This is actually going to be the first day. Today's a lot of firsts, my friend. Today we're going to be playing sound off this computer in front of me. Now, this won't, as Steven Tyler would say, it won't mean anything to a tree, but in the past, both at Fisher and then at Entercom, and then for yesterday here, we were playing all of our news cuts, all of our sound off Sarah's computer. There's a bank of computers in front of Sarah X. Dillon, and today we've changed that. Today we put them under my control. Now, this should not be construed to mean that anybody knows if they're going to work or if they're going to operate or function effectively. They could just they could eat crap as soon as I hit play. So we'll find out. Yesterday went pretty flawlessly, though, so we're guaranteed to have some sort of a fire today. So we'll just have to see as things progress. Anyway, it's 503-733-2970 or rick@rickemerson.com. We're back. I actually got a bunch of emails yesterday from people who were... They somehow avoided the media blitz that we did. We tried to find everybody online. We tried to find everybody with emails, everybody on MySpace. We made a promotional video and sent it out to, like... I mean, it's been viewed... I think Tim told me, like, 10,000 times, 11,000 times, something like that, because we are...
And even on Billboard magazine.
Billboard magazine, yeah. Put up a link to it. So we are all that, apparently. But there were some folks who hadn't heard about it, and so I got all that. No one told me. I was shocked and horrified to discover that I was not made privy to the Rick Emerson return. So we'll talk to some of those people, and they get some of your email. And all of that, let's welcome to the Rick Emerson Show, manning the boards and keeping my abundance of energy focused. Some semblance of concentration today, the lovely Sarah X. Dillon. How
I'm
you
just
doing?
Jealous of my gold coffee cup.
Let's talk for a minute about the coffee cup that's sitting. Now, did you make that coffee cup or did you find that here?
Well, it's mine now.
That's spoken like a true radio employee. Well, it was just sitting there and they didn't have anybody's name on it, so it's mine.
Yeah, it was in the cabinet. They actually have real cups here. They're not paper. They're actually porcelain.
Well, but of course, everybody who's ever worked at a radio station knows this. You go into a radio station kitchen, and it's like when you go to somebody's house. Did you ever notice this? Well, I'm starting to do that thing.
Oh, boy.
Did you ever notice, have you ever made the casual observation that when you go to somebody's house and you're looking for a glass, you're looking for a coffee cup, you visit somebody, looking at a poker game, whatever, you're at the place, you're looking for something to put your beverage in, and it's like you always, the coffee cups or the glasses, it's always the last cupboard you check. Like, you never pick that one right away. You never go, where would I find glasses? Huzzah, there they are. You're always finding napkins and, you know, Pledge and Mr. Clean and crockery and all kinds of crap. It's always like the 17th cabinet you find. Radio stations, always right above the sink. And when you open the cabinet above the sink in a radio station, it's like going through an archaeological dig and counting clay layers, because all you find is one cup from a failed format after another. I mean, you look at the cupboard here, man. There's like 17 different cups in there that say 106.7. I mean, it's like counting the rings in a tree.
Hey, we have a new friend over at 106.7. He was also affected by...
106.7 K-Hits?
Yes. He was affected by the unpleasantness as well.
I have no idea.
He used to be on Kissin' FM.
Really?
Yeah.
Now he's here?
Now he's here. His first day was yesterday.
So CBS Radio's got a keen eye for talent. Sarah, they know how to absorb the cast-offs of another station. Properties that were perhaps undervalued by their previous owners. so we're here. In the Johnson 970 newsroom, Tim Riley's working on the following stories for your edification today.
Well, Big Oil claims it helps and does not hinder the economy with obscene profits. A teenager is shot in a fight over tater tots. And if you want a safe seat on Northwest Airlines, it'll cost you extra. And Mike Wallace is finally retiring, really. These stories and more.
It's like 150.
Is one big liver spot. Is he just...
Okay. He should just be doing his show from a coffin like Criswell. Just open up the... I'm Mike Wallace. All right. Some sort of an undead joke there, but I'm not going to make it. So we have a bunch of stuff that we didn't, of course, in keeping with the theme of this show, we never got to the top five yesterday. So we're going to get to the top five today. And we're going to talk a little bit about a FAQ, which is what the kids on the internet call the frequently asked questions. Things that are constantly asked, questions or queries, puzzlements that people have over and over and over again. And we're going to talk about that today because if you've gone to RickEmerson.com, you've seen that it's undergone a substantial revision. RickEmerson.com, our good friend Joni DeRoshi has gone over it, and we got a new logo, new look, new layout. It looks very cool. And every iteration of my webpage has looked better than the one before it. And this is no exception. The webpage looks fantastic, but everything, I was looking through all the info yesterday, it's all just so out of date. Like, my bio still has me. According to my bio, it's still 2001, and Liz Wilde is still doing middays on KOTK, which no longer exists. So it's like 14 generations out of date. It's like running Windows 3.1 or something. So I got to update my bio. I got to update the FAQ. And the FAQ, of course, is the stuff that people ask over and over and over again. Like, what does FMAT stand for? And just all of this stuff. But again, it's like 5 years out of date.
And I was surprised that we went shooting guns 5 years ago. That was a long time.
Tim Riley Gunfest. That was like 2 weeks after we returned, or after I returned in 2001. And it was right before 9/11. You could never do that now. What do you want to do? We want to go out. We want to fire machine guns on the air in a completely unlicensed fashion in public somewhere. Can
sure,
we do that?
Take the station vehicle. We'll give you an engineer.
Totally. And the HR woman let us. Man, in August of 2001, I'd been back like 5 days. They didn't know how the hell I was. I've been gone for 2 years. And like, we've been back in the building less than a week, and they completely let us do a station event focused around Tim Riley firing an automatic weapon.
It was so much fun.
In public, near listeners. With listeners 5 feet away.
But it happened in the coup.
And it was just, do we need insurance forms? Nah, have a good time. And they just didn't even care. So we got to update all of that stuff. We'll talk about that next hour. We have a new musical treat from an old Rick Emerson favorite. That we'll get to, and all of that. We should really get underway, though. Ladies and gentlemen, would you please make way from the city desk? It's the Rick Emerson New News Hour with Tim Riley.
From high atop the bottom of the coin tower in downtown Portland, Oregon, this is the City Desk News Beat, Noontime Edition, Tim Riley reporting. U.S. oil company executives went to Capitol Hill today to explain their obscene profits. Billions and billions of it. Well, of course, the whole thing has sparked outrage, and they had to answer concerns about what they plan to do to ease these fears.
Oh, wait, hold on.
This is your first
soundbite. With respect to the committee's specific question, whether mergers and acquisitions in our industry have contributed to higher prices at the pump.
Higher.
My answer is no.
Uh-huh.
Anyone with a Texas accent always lies. Every time.
Totally. I mean, you read about those courses where there's somebody from the South and they want to be a broadcaster, an anchor person. They have those whole courses how you can lose your Southern accent because it just... Look, I don't mean to cast aspersions or judgment on anybody. Everybody comes from someplace. Not like my hometown is all that great. But I mean... You know, but it's like a scarlet A. You walk around with that accent on your forehead. People just automatically assume that you're deceitful and moronic.
They're emptying your pockets on weekdays, praising the Lord on Sundays.
Yes. So, the gas prices don't affect me because they jacked the parking rates up. Let me ask you this. Who is it that owns all the parking emporiums downtown?
I'm not sure. I believe it's a private concern.
Here's why I ask that. And we will get to the second oil cut.
Oh, it's Mr. Smart Park, the guy with the hat. Never mind.
I have no idea what you're talking about. It's owned by a cartoon mascot.
Yes.
But he's evil. No, because Mark Whalen, who's the general manager here, the man responsible to bringing us to CBS Radio, where we're appreciated. I was coming in and, you know, I was getting ready for the show and trying to get things together and trying to figure out what the hell we were going to do and all that crap. And it's like, but I didn't bicycle because I was just worn out. Last week, I was so frazzled. I mean, you think that we're up to our eyeballs in it this week. Last week, it's like I wanted to hang myself. I wanted to stab out my own eyes with a brooch. I mean, it was the worst week of my life. I mean, it was great because the show was coming together. I was so busy, and I'm not complaining. I mean, I guess I am complaining, but it was just very, very hectic. And I just didn't, have the stomach to bicycle in. And so I'm like, screw it, I'm driving. And it's, I would drive it, which is pointless, because it takes 25 minutes to get across the damn Ross Island Bridge anyway. It ended up being a wash. But so then you get downtown, and it's like you're paying, it's like $4.95 the first hour to park, and like $2 every additional hour. And over the course of last week, I spent probably $85 in parking down here. And you just feel like such a chump. You feel like a mark, like a rube. You're being, as Malcolm X would say, I've been took and swindled. Run amok. Bamboozled. And so I was completely screwed. And so I'm walking into the building, and I was walking in with Mark Whalen. I think we'd gone to a sales meeting or something. We're coming up in the elevator, and of course I'm complaining. I'm like, oh, this stupid parking, damn stupid cars, garages. And he says to me, well, you know who owns those. And it's like, you don't want to look dumb. So I go, yeah, do I ever. And then I have no idea. I don't know who owns those. So I have no idea who he was referring to. Apparently, this is one vast, all-powerful consortium that owns them all, and I'm the only person who's not privy to it. Do we have more oil sound?
Yes, we do. Someone named O'Reilly wouldn't have a Southern... Are there Southern Irish people? Well, here's David O'Reilly, who's the chairman of CEO of Chevron.
Okay.
Second cut.
Mergers in our industry over the past two decades have made U.S. companies more competitive and efficient in the production, refining, and marketing of energy supplies.
They've made $36 billion, the biggest profit ever for a U.S. company. But they say the mergers have actually benefited us.
Of course.
Because it makes it easier for them to find oil, like they didn't know where the oil was in the first place.
Like it's a big mystery. Like this is no clue at all. Didn't that Exxon or Chevron or somebody, it was actually the single biggest corporate profit in the history of
Exxon,
business?
$36 billion.
Yeah. All right. Good times.
Ridiculous.
I don't know. But of course it has nothing to do with them swindling the American consumer. And look, as a proud new employee of CBS Radio, it would be wrong for me to malign consolidation or large corporations in any way. But I mean, Jesus God. I mean, come on, man. And I know that I'm like the 500th person to ask this question, but I don't understand how it is that we invade wherever the oil comes from, and yet the price goes up, and I'm paying more for gas. I mean, I'm not paying as much as I was, it was last summer, right? Where it was like $900 a gallon or something?
Yeah.
Because
it went down for a week or so a couple of weeks ago, and then it went up 25 cents this past week.
Yeah, I see, and I'm not one of those guys who obsesses about the price of gas, because I know that it's like, it doesn't matter, because I have to buy it anyway.
Yeah, let's boycott the gas stations once a week. That'll hurt them.
Let's buy it all on Thursday, not Wednesday. Yeah, they'll learn their lesson then. So I don't complain about the price of gas, but it does strike me as a little odd. So I had that chance. Laura and I were out looking at cars, 18 months or so ago, and we came very close to buying a hybrid, which would be great, A, because it lets you stick it to the man just a little bit, and B, because then I can be even more self-righteous. Having a hybrid would completely allow me just to lord my superiority over the other people. You know, I'm part of that solution. What are you? But they were just, God, they were so damn ugly. Just ugly and hideous, and it just felt like you were driving around in your grandmother's 1975 Volvo. Just big and boxy and rattly. There's nothing but bad. So I opted not to do that.
I like my 94 Volvo. All you can do is change the oil and forget about it.
I
very seldom drive it. I take the Max every day because pedaling up Sylvan Hill would kill me.
Well, because you live... How many miles is it from here to your house?
13?
Yeah, that'd be fantastic. You'd be really fit when your heart exploded, though. You'd be in peak condition when you had an embolism.
I know.
All right.
Well, a teenager was shot after he was arguing over tater tots with another teen. Okay. This happened in Texas, of course.
Of course.
Neighbors told police the uncle of one of the boys told the teens to stop fighting, but that doesn't occur in Texas. They were ready to stop, and investigators say a 20-year-old man would not let them. Another person out there in the apartment complex, I think, wanted to see the young'uns continue fighting, said the sergeant. The man then walked into a nearby apartment complex, grabbed a gun, and started shooting. He fired several shots into the living room where the boys are watching television. Oh, this is a post-tater tot.
Wait, hold on. I'm confused. Okay, so there's...
Okay.
Let's stop and get a hold of ourselves. I'm becoming dangerously giddy. Okay, so there's two boys in Texas.
Arguing over tater tots.
They're fighting over tater tots.
Yeah.
And is this over... They're quibbling because there's only one tot left, and they both are claiming dibs? Is this because...
It doesn't specify.
It doesn't specify the nature of the tot dispute.
No,
all right, but it was some tot-oriented discord.
So they buried the hatchet and they were over with it. Then the uncle urged them to keep on fighting.
So he was unhappy that the fighting stopped. There's always an adult somewhere that's willing to, you know, it's like if you can't.
Always an uncle.
Totally. If you can, and it's always a guy. He's always drunk. He always looks like the next door neighbor in Office Space. And he's always some guy urging you, don't be a sissy, be a man.
So then the uncle goes into a nearby apartment complex. None of these people have homes. He grabbed a gun and started shooting with the boys watching TV after the fight in their living room.
Wait, so he was unhappy that he couldn't get them to continue fighting.
Correct.
And so he figured he would just cut out the middleman and just pass the violence right along to them. So he just started firing randomly into their home.
Texas style.
Because he couldn't get them to continue it.
Remember the Alamo.
Of course.
So one of these rounds from that .45 automatic hit the young boy, who previously was fighting but since stopped, in the back.
Well, that'll learn him.
Oh, the uncle still remains on the loose, and police are looking for him.
Okay. We're canvassing other fried food outlets. All right.
So what's the president up to, you ask? There's a brand new Medicare plan out there, and he wants to save seniors money. Like, this is really going to happen. I mean, really, seriously.
Of course.
If you're an average income senior, you're going to get one half of your prescription drugs cut. If you're a poor senior, this government's going to pay over 95% of the cost of your prescription drugs.
So that means you're going to get a poor senior card.
Wait, I'm unclear, but he said you're going to get half your drugs cut. Hold on, let's just...
No.
If you're an average income senior, you're going to get one half of your prescription drugs cut. If you're a poor senior, this government's going to pay over 95% of the cost of your prescription drugs.
I think what he means to say there is if you're an average income senior, which means you make like $4 a month,
yeah,
that they'll pay half your prescription, right? And then if you're poor...
But they pay 95%.
I can't even imagine where the bar is set to be a poor senior.
You have to get a poor senior card.
Really?
Wherever they hand them out.
Is that what it says?
Yeah.
That's got to feel good.
Well, you know, they want to raise your retirement age in the next 10 years to 85. Can you imagine working
just
with 85?
Spine snapping all over the Freightliner assembly
we'll
line.
We'll be 85-year-old board ops.
Dude, I'm going to be an 85-year-old board op anyway. Yeah. All right. Okay. Well, you know, whatever.
Speaking of old... CBS News veteran Mike Wallace is retiring after 37 years at 60 Minutes. So that's where they get the money to pay us, I guess. No word from the network, but details are expected shortly. He's 87.
Well,
he's 87 years old. So he worked 2 years after the retirement age, 20
but
years
But he's
now.
Like the youngest guy there. Man, I stopped watching 60 Minutes.
20 years ago.
Yeah, I mean,
even
it's
even before
like,
Saturday Night Live.
I was just going to say, it's just like SNL. It's like it just went, I just don't even care anymore. Because there was 60 Minutes, which was part of, you know, that was part of that great Sunday night tradition in my house. And, you know, that I, then it was 60 Minutes, too, and all this, and I grew up watching it. And I haven't watched 60 Minutes, like, intentionally for a long, and see, with the TiVo, the thing about the TiVo is you no longer ever see anything accidentally, ever. Like, you never, which is both good and bad, like, you no longer have those moments where you're like, I was just flipping through the channels and I saw this thing. Those days are gone. There's marketing and advertising of television programs is ever more important because if I don't know about it in advance, I'm never going to see it. Because I so rarely, and Sarah, you have a TiVo. I so rarely even check the suggestions. Do we even go through your TiVo suggestions?
No, my TiVo keeps, it always records Will and Grace for me though. It's really annoying.
Okay. Well, you know, you can give it the thumbs down or whatever.
I know.
I do.
Well, I just moved into a new place though and I don't have cable anymore.
Do you share your TiVo with others?
No, I don't have cable anymore.
You got a gay? What do you mean you don't have cable? Tim, do you have cable?
I do. You're thinking about my days in St. John's when I had nothing.
All right. Okay, because
And I have cable internet.
All right. So, but you got to get cable. You can't... How can you work in the media and not have cable?
I did for years.
I'm a little broke right now.
You got like three roommates.
Don't feel bad. I was a news director, and I had basic channels with a coat hang wire hanging out of my...
I know. It's expensive.
Yeah, but they were able to remodel Aaron Hubert's office, and that's what counts.
Oh, thank goodness.
Oh, God, I'm sorry. Did I say that? But you got like three roommates.
Well, I don't know if they don't believe in cable. I was kind of stuck. I needed to move.
Living in a monastery or with Mormons or something?
I don't know. I live in Southeast, so a lot of them, you know, don't eat meat, don't like cable.
All right. So your TiVo's just sitting there.
Yeah. I don't eat meat, but I love cable.
All right. Well, whatever. My point is that on the TiVo, there's that suggestions folder that fills up, and I don't even use it because I have so little time to watch television. The programs that I'm set to record, they just stack up and up and up. So my point is that I don't watch anything accidentally anymore. And so 60 Minutes, the last time I watched 60 Minutes was about 2 weeks ago before the Oscars because Philip Seymour Hoffman, they did a huge piece on him because he was in Capote. And he's a great actor. He was in Boogie Nights and he's in that Mission Impossible 3, which I will not be seeing. But they did a whole piece on him. And it's, I mean, on some level, on some level, you know that Andy Rooney is, I mean, how old is, I mean, did anyone know? Ballpark? 85? 90?
He's got to be in the same neighborhood as Wallace.
He's got to be almost 90. I mean, he's got to be almost that old.
He's older than Larry King.
But he looks like a bowl of dried fruit. I mean, really.
What are the California raisins?
Well, it's like, you know how some, you know, sometimes fruit, like guavas, they have that fine little white hair on them. You know, what is, you know, or like a, what is it, like a persimmon? Is that what that is? What's that fruit that has the fine little white hair all over it?
He just looks like one giant ear here. Is that what you're trying to say?
He looks like someone stitched together out of an old person's ears. Did you ever see those that artwork that they did, like suburban housewives in the 70s had in their fridge that was like a dried apple made into a woman's face?
Yeah.
That's what Andy Rooney is.
And you cover it in nylon?
Yeah, that's what Andy Rooney is. He's dried apple art. And look, we should all be so lucky to be alive and have a job, you know, at that age. But I'm saying, like, you sort of mentally prepare yourself, like, all right, here comes Andy Rooney, here comes, ah! You know, and then he looks like something for the Dark Crystal. And then when he starts talking, and, you know, he's good old reliable. I mean, he comes on, and I forget what even, it was just some quintessential, you know, I have this staple remover in my office. I don't really have that many staples to remove, but somehow if it's missing, I feel like I can't get my day started. You know, and you're sitting there, and I find myself watching the whole thing.
Yeah.
I have no need to watch Andy Rooney. I have no desire to hear about the intricacies of his staple remover. But there it is, and that's what I watch, so I have no point. We have to break here?
Yeah,
we should. All right, and we should try to take some of these calls. If you, by the way, when you're calling in, we are sans an intern at the moment for reasons that we'll talk about later. We've had some questions about Kyle, who was our intern over at Max 910, and people are about Matt and Jolene. And so later on today, as part of our updating the FAQ, we'll talk about Wither Kyle, the intern. And my point, though, is that at the moment, Sarah's kind of having to run the whole ship, and she's doing the phones, so she's, you know.
And people are trying to have long conversations with her. I thought she was reciting the Gettysburg Address a few minutes ago to some caller.
So Sarah's, she's trying to run.
It's been a while, so I guess she's like, okay, bye.
Hold on, well, let's see who this is.
People all want to talk.
Hold on, let's see. Hi, Rick Emerson Show, who's this? Hello.
Oh, wait, I don't think I have the phone button. Oh.
That was strange.
Oh, wait, hi, how are you? Who's this?
Yeah, this is Mike. How you doing, man?
Hi, Mike, how are you doing?
I had a funny joke about fruit with white hair on it, but I thought David Guest would just be just wrong, so I shouldn't say it.
Okay,
but the cable thing. Sarah, if you try, there might be a cable connection in the house you're in now.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes they don't turn the cable off. They just, you know, there might be a chance you can plug in and actually get cable.
Let me say right now, I don't advocate, condone, endorse, promote, or encourage the piracy or theft of cable. That would be wrong.
But this is just there, so it's not like it's stealing. It's just like you're
borrowing. Well, that's true. I mean, if the man...
This is an untapped resource.
If the man gives you something, who are you to turn down the man's offer of cable?
I'm just trying to throw it out there for you. You don't have to pay for it.
Like somebody else's wireless internet next door.
That's what I found out. Okay, what was your name, Michael?
Yes.
All right, Michael, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, there you go. So the point is, if you're calling in, Sarah's trying to do 80 things at once and answer the phone, and then people, she picks up the phone and people are like, Sarah, let me tell you the 50 thoughts that have been accumulating in my head since you've been
off
here.
What's your favorite recipe for peanut butter fudge?
So it's got to be a little tricky until we have a guy handling the call screener. When we get back, we'll talk about Sarah's roommates and Wi-Fi and all that. Plus, Lisa Goddard's going to join us from CNN. She's going to talk about, apparently we're starting another war somewhere. I don't know where. Someplace that starts with an I. So we'll talk about that later on. We'll do the top five. We'll update the Rick Emerson fact. And, of course, we got a snuff watch coming up. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Don't go anywhere.
Is to make you laugh. All thrusting after that is purely recreational. Wait.
Welcome back to the show.
Portland's Johnson 970, all comedy radio.
We're all about class. All right, so Rick Emerson Show, 503-733-2970, 503-733-2970. I can't even see the clock from where I am. What is it? 1231?
It's 1231:30.
31 minutes on the right side at 12 o'clock. Rick Emerson Show. 503-733-2970. Still to come, we have a... I'm going to tell you it right now. This story, you hear this?
It's the best story today. Maybe ever.
And so now realize this is not me saying this. This is Tim Riley affirming that
I wanted to read that story so bad.
this story.
But it was snatched from my hand.
No, I'm going to hold it. I don't want Sarah's asking to hold it.
Nobody's allowed
to
read it.
No. I don't even want to let you see the headline.
Just read a little snippet of the headline.
Then, okay, I'll give you some random words.
Okay.
Represented, pride, started, pageant, died. We'll get to that. It's the best story in the history of all creation. We'll get to that. We've got a snuff watch coming up, religious nutcase watch, geek watch on the way. Later on, we'll update the Rick Emerson fact. We've got a top five comeback albums of all time, et cetera, so on and so forth. All right, let's get to. We were talking. We touched on the president earlier. So let's. Is my PC up here? Let's see if we'll experiment with playing this. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show. Oh. From CNN Radio, Lisa Goddard, who joins us now. Lisa, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing all right, Rick. How are you?
I'm okay. That was the loudest soundbite in the history of all creation. I think I've blown out my cilia.
And that was you.
I'm sorry. I was not under my... It's a brand new soundbite. I had no idea the volume level would be so extreme. Now, are you stationed in D.C. or New York?
I'm in D.C. I'm sitting in the U.S. Capitol right now.
So it's you and Dick Giuliano sort of do like a tag team thing. Like he gets off work and goes to find the bar or whatever, and he tags you on the way out the door, and you pick up the you pick up the Dick Giuliano baton, bringing the news to the people.
Yeah, we actually have it. It's an orange flag that we pass.
That's fantastic. So we heard a soundbite from you yesterday, and Tim said, "Who's that woman with the fantastic news voice?" And I said, "That's Lisa Goddard. We're going to talk to her tomorrow." So this is your first time on the Rick Emerson Show, but we're looking forward to the facts that you're going to present to the people in a thrilling and gripping fashion. So my question is, is it true that George Bush, let me just ask you this, are we just going to invade Iran? You can tell me.
You know, it's not looking so good today, but talk to me tomorrow. But honestly, today actually is interesting. After the president talked yesterday about weapons coming into Iraq from Iran,
uh-huh.
Today, Peter Pace, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, was asked, does the U.S. have proof that Iran's government has anything to do with these weapons? And Pace said, no, we don't have any proof that the government is involved. Of course, that's a very difficult thing to prove, but that's a critical question as far as any military developments with Iran. So right now, looks like just a lot of tension, maybe a little smoke, no fire as far as the U.S. and Iran are concerned.
It does seem like proof may be a bit of an outmoded concept with this administration. You know
or
what I mean?
Or they could fabricate evidence. Why not?
Just, I mean, yeah, it doesn't necessarily seem like proof is maybe the all-important thing that it once was. It seems like if we want to invade Iran, we're probably just going to do it and not worry about it. I mean, I can't imagine that they're going to be more reticent to do it in the wake of Iraq. Or maybe they might. I don't know. Is that the sense that, like, in the wake of Iraq, they actually have to prove it this time? Or that they only got one free shot and we've already used it?
Well, I think whatever proof the administration does or doesn't have for Iran's intention, one thing that the U.S. definitely has a problem with right now is our troop levels. And while the Pentagon says that we do have enough troops, enough military to fight on another front somewhere if we need to, it's clear that we are spread rather thin. We're spread probably to our capacity if we were to try and fight on another front. And you've got to imagine that Iran is taking that into consideration.
Well, because I'm a typically uninformed American, let me ask you two things. I know that there has been this canard that has come out of it. Well, it's been a constant refrain for the military that the United States is at all times able and ready to fight on two fronts simultaneously, the sort of World War II model.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know that I should know this, but I don't. Are we still fighting in Afghanistan? I know that I should know the answer to that, but I really don't.
Yeah, we do still have troops in Afghanistan. Of course, not nearly the significant amount that we have in Iraq, but we do have a good-sized force in Afghanistan. And the Pentagon and the State Department both are going through realignments right now, moving bases. This is a long-term move, so it's not happening overnight, but moving bases out of Europe, moving away from places like Germany, Czechoslovakia, the Czech Republic, and moving toward places like Afghanistan. Now, moving bases as a whole is an interesting question because many of those countries don't want permanent U.S. bases, but they are trying to realign forces right now toward those sorts of countries. But, yeah, right now we do have troops on the ground in Afghanistan as part of a broader coalition than the one in Iraq. That's that post-September 11th coalition that's still on the ground, but we still are leading that in Afghanistan.
And my final ignorant American question is this. Now, I was always to understand that Iran and Iraq were not necessarily the best pals. So if we're in there kicking the snot out of everybody in Iraq, what would be the motivation? You think Iran would just stand back and they'd be like last man standing? They wouldn't want to, you know, it's like somebody you dislike is getting their head handed to them. Why would you step in and help them?
Yeah, you know, maybe you could look at it as two brothers who are bitter rivals. You're right. Iran and Iraq have not gotten along. In fact, they've fought vicious wars against each other. But they are both Muslim countries. And you see right now, really, this this upsurge of rhetoric, this upsurge of unity over religion in the Arab and Persian world. And while those two have very serious feuds of their own, some leaders over there want to say their broader feud is with the West
and with
the U.S.
So they may be fighting brothers, but we're the abusive uncle that they're going to gang up and take down one night? Or
it's like the Hatfields and the McCoys.
The Great Santini, something like that.
Yeah, something like that, exactly.
All right, Lisa Goddard from CNN Radio. Thank you so much, Lisa.
Hey, anytime.
All right, there you go. That's
Wow, she was smart.
She's still on the phone. Oh, I just hung up on her. Oh, I'm sorry. Lisa, I'm... Oh.
Should we call her back and apologize?
Well, no. Usually the deal is that we talk to them and I put them on hold. And then Sarah says, that was great. I'm sorry Rick was... He's normally much more professional. And Sarah smooths everything over. Because you can never tell with the CNN people. Mm-hmm. Because, it's you know, some of them roll well with my particular brand of humor. And some of them, like Jim Roop, you know, you got your John Bisney, your Gary Baumgarten, they all go... And then you got, like, Pat St. Clair in Atlanta...
Is she still there?
No, well, yeah, but she won't talk to me. She hates me.
Oh, I remember that. She refuses to talk to you.
She won't. We had Pat, and she, I made her giggle. I made her laugh. Everything was fine. We had Pat St. Clair from CNN in Atlanta on a couple times, and she was talking about something, and she was just so great, and it's like, she was just, I hate to travel in stereotypes, but she was sassy. She was full of flavor and all of that. I didn't say any of these things to her. I thought them. I may have said them after the fact, but the point is, that I was my normal, ebullient, irreverent, you know, Gen X motor mouth self. And then I went, first time, great. Second time, great. Third time, we went to Booker on the show, and we heard that Pat would prefer not to talk to Rick anymore. He makes her very uncomfortable, and so she's going to pass on future. And so, like, Pat St. Clair won't talk to me.
We couldn't figure out exactly what the incident was that triggered this.
I don't know. She wouldn't tell me. She wouldn't tell. It's sort of like when you're fighting with your girlfriend, you know, and you're just like, well, what's wrong? Nothing. Just tell me. You know
what you did.
Yeah, so I have to explain it to you, and I'm not going to... Wham! And then they shut the door, and then it's like you're on the couch. All right, there you go. There's Lisa Goddard. This is Tim Riley in the Johnson 970 newsroom.
Time for the Snuff Watch.
Here's your Snuff Watch for Tuesday in the Rick Emerson Show.
A TV game show host and his wife were killed yesterday morning when their small plane crashed into Santa Monica Bay. The bodies of Peter Tomarkin, who's 63, who was host of the 80s game show Pressure Luck. Anybody remember him?
Oh, yeah. I'm all over Pressure Luck.
All right.
You can watch it on GSN at night.
And his wife, who was 23 years younger than he was.
Excellent. Look at him. How old was he?
63.
Hadn't done anything since 1985 or so, and he's still pulling a wife who's 25 years younger. Way to go, dead guy.
Mm-hmm. The plane was on its way to San Diego to ferry a medical patient to the UCLA Medical Center.
Oh, that's fantastic. It's not fantastic that he's dead, but I... What the plane did what? The plane just blew up?
There was a big splash, a huge splash, then it started going down. Apparently, bystanders didn't hear the engine but heard a splash.
Oh, I see. This is the so-called water landing that they always tell you about, which is that water landing is euphemism for it. You're going to crash into the ocean and drown.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Anyway, his agent said this fellow's first game show was Hitman, which ran 13 weeks at NBC, followed by the four-year hit Press Your Luck on CBS. It was also on Bargain Hunters, Wipeout, and Paranoia. And a fun guy to be around, they said.
Of course. There's probably some joke to be made about it. See, this is why I'm not fit for mornings. Mm-hmm. Because this is why I didn't get the Corolla slot. Because I know that there's a million game show jokes, about, you know, that guy, and I mean, insert your own, you know, when
I bet
joke
David
there.
Lee Roth couldn't even come up with anything.
Moving on. But I mean, it should be right there, right? I mean, he hosted Press Your Luck, the catchphrase of which was whammy, and his plane crashed somewhere. And I mean, it's right there. It's right in front of me, right? Like, the joke almost writes itself, and I should be able to...
But you see the headline is whammy?
Yeah, or just wham-y, or something like that. There should be... Game show host plane...
He pressed his luck once too often.
Oh, there you go! That's what I'm talking about.
You didn't even think about that one,
no,
did you?
No, I didn't.
And I'm not even the star of the show.
Pressed his luck and lost. Look, if you got to go out, you know better to go out in some dramatic fashion. What do? Sit there and, you know, peeing into a bag at 85 years old somewhere? You don't want to do that. Might as well go out in a blaze of comedic glory, my friend. Sarah never watched Press Your Luck, though. That's before your time, right?
Yeah, it's true. I did not watch it.
It was during my time, but I didn't see it either.
I'm trying to think of some comparison. It really is this sort of cult. I mean, there's got to be some band or some movie or something that's it's like the Reservoir Dogs or something of game shows. It was not a huge hit at the time, but over time the legend grew, and it was sort of this weird outcast misfit fringe game show. It never got the huge ratings. It was never, I mean, it, you know, was never going to knock Jeopardy or Wheel of Fortune off the air, but Press Your Luck became over the years very, very famous among people of my age. God, I sound old. People who grew up in the 80s and before that. And it was made even more famous because there was a scandal. There was a Press Your Luck scandal. And a guy whose name I can't remember. I know they're making a movie about him starring Bill Murray as the guy. But there was a guy. The deal with Press Your Luck is there was a big electronic board that looked kind of like a Monopoly board. And they would hit the start button and squares would light up randomly. And some of the squares were good things and some of the squares were whammies. And a whammy was like lose a turn. It would knock you out. And so you would hit the stop button, and, you know, you either landed on something good or the board landed on something bad.
Just talking about this show last week at breakfast?
Probably, yeah, we were. There was a guy who went on, and he was some mathematical genius, and he memorized the pattern. And he videotaped it with one of those old, like, 1970s VCRs, videotaped the show, memorized the pattern on the board, and went on and took the show for, like, $150,000, which is real money on a game show in those days. Because you watch a game show from the 70s now, like, I was watching... I said that I never surfed, but I was watching Card Sharks the other day. And then I watched Card Sharks, and then I watched something else right around the, it was that same era. And it was where they all have the long, skinny Bob Barker microphone. And
Gene Rayburn. Match game.
Totally, with the huge sideburns, the big 70, the coiffed Marv Albert hair. And it was, we'd like to welcome our returning champion, Loretta Schlarp. She's been on the program for 4 weeks. Loretta, your four-week total is $432. And then the audience goes crazy. This guy took down Press Your Luck for like $150,000. And then they brought the show back in this new version called Whammy on GSN, which no one cares about. No one watches. I know that I've just spent 10 minutes talking about Press Your Luck, but you know what? That's the kind of fringe humor that makes this a can-do kind of radio show with a loyal cult following. There's this. Let's talk to George. George, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. What's up?
Rick. Hey. Rick. Hey. 11 months ago, I fell through the ice, and I could see you above me, and I drifted downstream. And then finally, you reached through hole in the ice and pulled me up. Thank you. Thank you.
Are you reading from a Hallmark card or from a country song or something?
I've had a long time to reflect on this during my auditory imprisonment.
Okay,
but nevertheless, I just wanted to mention, I have an idea why Pat St. John may have abandoned yourself.
Oh, Pat St. Clair from CNN? Okay, what did I do?
I think it was multiple references to her chocolate loveliness.
I never called her chocolate, not to her face.
Not to her face, but somehow it got round that maybe that's how you refer to
it. You would think that was a compliment. I said that.
Definitely velvety chocolate love. I agree.
Smooth like a Cadbury egg. She was funny, and I think, you know what it is? I think that Pat St. Clair, here's my theory. What?
I know where you're going with
this. No, this is just a theory, and I'm speculating. We should totally make it our quest to find out. But my theory is, because we had Pat St. Clair on from CNN Atlanta, where the love flows freely. And I made her giggle. It's not that I was bad. I made her laugh.
And what
right?
a lovely laugh it was.
She had a very lovely.
Oh, so you think she had some kind of overwhelming feelings for you that it was just difficult to work with you?
Well, Sarah, what I am saying, Sarah Dillon, is this: that I suspect, but cannot prove, but I suspect that, you know, having come on 2-3 times in a row, made her laugh, made her giggle. You know, she always went away with a smile on her face. You know, to a journalist, there's nothing more sacred than objectivity and maintaining a distance from the subject and from other journalists you may talk to. And I believe, I suspect, I have a hunch, hankering, that Pat Sinclair may have started to develop just the tiniest of crushes on me in the manner of a sassy schoolgirl.
Chocolate was melting, in other words.
Perhaps you could put it that way, I suppose, if one was so inclined. And she found her objectivity waning, and she was then forced to move on from the program because
she
didn't feel that
inverse proportion to each time she talked to you, she laughed all the more.
That's what I'm talking about. And see, eventually, it's like eventually her objectivity would have been shattered by her overweening lust for me. That's just
a
theory.
So that's why she chose to spend no time with you.
Well, it's great to have you back, and howdy to Tim as well.
All right, thank you, George.
All right, take care.
Thanks.
All right, there you go. That's George. All right, we don't have to break now, do we?
We do.
I got like 90 things left.
We've only taken one break in almost an hour. We've got to go.
We only have two breaks this hour, though.
I know. The hour's almost up.
Okay, but we're not going to have to break till like 55.
I thought it was at 40.
No, you're high. It's like 55.
Oh, you're right. It's 54.
That's what I'm talking about.
Okay. Sorry, keep talking.
Let's
keep
do another phone call just for that. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Who's this?
Yeah, this is Bill.
Hey, Bill, what's up?
Actually, Father William. I was just going to add a thank you and a proposition for you.
Okay. Anytime a guy who prefaces his name with father calls up and has a proposition for me,
No, from Bloodbath.
I clench up a little bit. I'm sorry. Okay, go ahead. So what's your proposition?
Well, I think that since yesterday you thanked your listeners yesterday for getting you back on the air, you owe us something. Like, anytime we see you out in public other than a scheduled appearance, if we recognize you, you owe us 10 push-ups at our request.
Okay, here's why that's not going to happen. A, I owe you. So this radio magic I'm creating for you right now. It seems like a quid pro quo. I mean, you guys fight for the show, which I love, which we will always be indebted for. In fact, it's not up yet, but Joni DeRoshi's adding. My webpage is so out of date. We're adding this whole section to the webpage about the Coffee Cup Crusade so future generations may watch and learn and understand the legend of the Coffee Cup Crusades. We're adding a whole thing about that. But now we are here for creating radio gold for you once again. Also, here's reason the second why that's not going to happen.
Yes.
Because you can't bring a radio program back under the theory that there are thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of listeners and then tell me that every time I meet one of them, I got to do 10 push-ups. You know what I mean?
But Rick.
Like, if it was a show nobody listened to, then I'd never be doing any push-ups. I can't, no. That's not going to work.
But the thing is when you're in the push-up position, I mean, your belly's almost touching the floor anyway, so you barely have to do any work.
What are you trying to say? You haven't seen. I could be in fighting trim. I could be in absolute peak physical condition right now.
Says the guy who hasn't touched his bike all winter.
Shut your head.
Yeah. You were. Before you went off the air at the last listener party, you had quite the boiler going. You just spent 11 months on your couch.
I had quite the what going?
The boiler, you know, the beer belly, the little kegger, you know, that kind of thing.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks for weighing in, and we appreciate it. It's nice to have you back. I have no such thing. I have a little bit of it. I don't have. I took pretty good care of myself. Sarah, wouldn't you agree? Oh, you guys are dicks. All right. Thank you. All right. There you go. That's fine. All right. Let's do. Well, we'll get this other call here in a while. Tim, do you have a watch that we need to do?
Hey, watch.
Did we ever end the snuff watch?
No.
Okay. There you go. There was your snuff watch like an hour ago. All right, here's Tim Riley from the City Desk.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, the Geek Watch. Here's your Geek Watch.
Yes, this high-speed modem is intolerably slow.
In the Quasar Dilemma, remember you used to...
Just a television show. That's all, okay?
Right, but because we were wondering if the quantum flux... Now, just listen on
there. There is no quantum flux. There's no auxiliary. There's no goddamn ship. You got it?
Energize.
Boy,
Can I just tell you, before we read this, I've missed that. I've missed that theme. That's my favorite of all the themes we've gotten. I love them all, but that's my favorite.
I haven't had to or gotten to listen to my favorite theme yet.
Which is what? Wait, don't tell me. Your favorite theme is, it's not the Clergy Watch, it's... Oh, Monkey Watch. Well, there's a paucity of monkey news these days. There's not enough monkey stories. That Geek Watch, and again, because so much of what brought us back was the geek community. You know, Aaron Duran at geekinthecity.com, he really coordinated, spearheaded, ran, he oversaw that coffee cup crusade, and that was the primary place for a long time where everybody gathered to plot kind of the coffee cup thing. And so we love the geeks. That's my, I've missed that theme. All right, here's Tim Riley.
Well, turning up at last night's Sony Ericsson Empire Awards, Star Wars producer Rick McCullum confirmed to Empire Online that George Lucas has approved an Indiana Jones, the fourth script?
Whatever.
And returned it to Spielberg for more polish.
For more polish.
What a person to send it back to.
This is like the 19th pop. They only had a script from Frank Darabont, the guy who did the Shawshank Redemption. Here's what happened. This is the last I've heard. And maybe you all know something. I mean, undoubtedly, you all know something that I don't know. But what I heard is that Frank Darabont, who wrote the Shawshank Redemption, wrote and finished and completed and turned in a finished script for Indiana Jones. And Lucas, who, of course, we all know that Lucas writes dialogue really well. His strength is really in giving people believable things to say and strong character development, right? So Lucas looks at the Frank Darabont and says, no, it's no good. I'll write it myself. They've been working on this for like 10 years. Harrison Ford's just going to be a box of dust by the time they get the freaking movie made. Did anybody see Firewall with Harrison Ford?
No.
No, that's the point. No one wants to see Harrison Ford and lose the earring, friend.
Yeah, he's just squishy and ugly now.
It's possible. Well, look, I mean, and look, the cruel hand of time comes for us all.
He's the Andy Rooney of the adventure set.
Whatever happened to the Ark of the Covenant?
I know, it's not his fault that his face is deformed over time.
You know what? You can age gracefully. It's possible. He's not doing it.
What? Maybe he'll run over by the rock that time.
He's not aging gracefully. Connery, that guy's aging gracefully. Mm-hmm. Harrison Ford, no. So, yeah. All right, so the Indiana Jones IV is going to be ready.
But there's more to this story. Yeah. He also says the Star Wars TV show is a go. That shocked me. That's not going to happen probably for another year and a half. We're still developing scripts and everything
else. The Star Wars show, this isn't Clone Wars, is it?
It says TV show. It's fantastic. We have some incredible writers. It's going to be much darker, much more character-based, and I think it's going to be everything the fans have always wanted.
You know what the fans want is for George Lucas to be killed by something so he can't make any more movies. That's what the fan. And look, I say this as a fan. I say this as a guy. I have a gold coin at home above my computer that says, waiting in line is proof of your devotion to the Force. It's right above my computer. Oh, just stifle, would you? Come on.
Did you actually get that for waiting in line?
I did. I waited in line with Scott Daly and Aaron Geek in the City and his girlfriend, the lovely Jen, and Joni DeRoshi and Metal Chris, who is our music director for Bigger Than the Jew. We all waited in line like the rabid Wolverines that we were. But you know what? Now it's over. We've seen it. It's done. It's time for George Lucas to be killed. I'm saying killed metaphysically or metaphorically. You shouldn't actually kill him.
No.
That would be wrong.
Absolutely.
He should be allowed to live and meddle constantly with his creations and to alter them and polish the shine off of them.
In a Dutch prison.
Take your geek watch.
By Grandthar's hammer, by the sons of Warvan, I shall avenge you.
Next. Ooh, loneliness and cheeseburgers are a dangerous mix.
I don't even know what a Dutch prison is. Rick Everson Show, who's this?
This is Steve.
Steve, what's up?
Hey, you know, Rick, is this Rick?
I don't know. Yes.
Okay. Hey, you know, look, great.
I don't know. Are you going to ask me to do push-ups or chin-ups or something?
Great to have you back on the air. Thank you.
Oh, wait. Here it comes.
But I think it would be a great service for all of us if you just let us know when you're going to get canned again. That way we can just get prepared this time.
I don't know. Let's find out. Wait, hold on. I can't bring up the office. And I was going to do a whole bit where I called the office and asked when they were going to fire me again. I don't know. Tomorrow? Next week? Next month?
Speaking of standing in line, I stood in line, not to date myself, 1978 Westwood to watch Empire. Didn't make the midnight show, the world premiere. Got into the 2 a.m. show, but some guy from the midnight show comes out screaming, Darth Vader is Luke Skywalker's father. Couldn't believe it. Ruined the movie for everybody.
So you were standing in line to see Empire and a guy came out and ruined it?
Ruined it for everybody. World premiere.
I thought that was just an urban legend about people doing that. That's the worst thing ever. You know, the equivalent of, were we on the air for the new Harry Potter book, Sarah? Were we on the air when Half-Blood Prince came out?
No, I remember I was
Which
on
I
line,
waited in line
that.
For, by the way. You all can pound it if you don't like it. I waited in line in Kennewick, of all places. The I remember reading and tune out like in the next for the next 10 seconds if you don't, you know, if you're like the one guy who hadn't heard. But so I bought Half Blood Prince and I went home and I deliberately I didn't go on the internet, I didn't turn on the TV, I didn't leave the house. I read that book in like a day because I didn't want to have it spoiled, right? And so of course, what happens? I get the book on whatever, like a Friday or whatever, whenever it came out. I finish it over the weekend. Monday, I'm like, well, okay, it's probably saved. Monday, I go on the internet. First, and it was like FARC or some page like that. I go there, or you know, or Ain't It Cool or something. And people were putting, like in totally unrelated postings, people were putting as the subject line, Voldemort kills Dumbledore. Like, and then the actual post would be about gardening or Star Wars or something. But then, I heard that there were actually guys. I heard in Seattle there were some dudes who actually made T-shirts that said, that says Snape kills Dumbledore, and that they were like walking around the mall with it. So, I mean, that's, you can't, people are, it's spoilerific now. You got to really be careful with that stuff.
Like my brother says, down with people.
Yes. All right, there you go. That's Steve.
Great to have you back for real.
All right, there you go. Thank you. All right, yeah. So there you go. Yeah, guys walking around the mall, shirts, Snape kills Dumbledore. You can't do that. I got a whole theory about that, by the way, which I will bust out when the next Harry Potter movie and book come out. Do we have to break here?
I believe so, yes.
Okay, you know what I've got in my hand still, though?
Oh, we never got to that.
I have in my hands the greatest story, not only of today, not only of this week, but of any day in your life. We've also got emails. We'll update the Rick Emerson fact. We've been invited to a party at Hooters. Good times for everyone. All of that coming up, plus Gary Baumgarten from the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inductions, and later on, top five comeback records of all time. In case you had any doubt, any prevarication in the corner of the shadow of your mind, this is the Rick Emerson Show on Johnson 970. Stay there.
Radio.
It's the Rick Emerson Show at Johnson 970, a proud part of the CBS Radio family. 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Here's what's coming up. We'll get through a couple phone calls here in a short while. And I've got this. I won't make you wait all day for it. We'll do it here in a minute. Best story in the history of your life. We'll update the Rick Emerson fact. We talk about this MySpace thing, too. And coming up later on, CNN Radio's Gary Baumgarten going to talk about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction. And we'll do the top five. I've teased this long enough, though. This is a new musical treat from an old musical favorite. Sheriff, you want to go ahead and... Radio of the Reggae Music Show. Give yourself extra points if you can spot it before it happens, by the way. Everybody.
Breaking break, I hit the sack. I've been too long, I'm glad to be back. Yes, I let loose from the noose that kept me hanging above. I keep looking at the sky, cause it's getting me high. Forget the hurts, cause I never.
Can we really play of that? You just have to take out your ears. There you go. There's our good friend Wing, back in black. I'd like to thank the 500 different people who sent me that song. And that was, and you know, and that's how great. I didn't have to go on and on and on about this, but that's the fantastic thing about our audience is that we have such kismet. There's just such a finely tuned bond between us and the people that everybody heard. God knows where. Everybody heard the Wing song, and their first thought was, Rick has to hear about this. And as I opened up my email box one day, and man, it was full of that stuff. All right. So let's get this phone call. Then we'll talk a little bit about stories we missed. We got to update the fact. We got to I got to read these emails and all of that stuff. Rick Emerson Show, who's this?
Hey, Rick, it's Matt.
Hey, is this the Matt, the F. Matt Peterson?
The one and former, yes
how,
it is.
How are you, sir? How are things?
I'm doing well. Just thought I'd call and say congrats for getting back on the air. It's been too damn long.
Thank you. Yes, I agree. I agree. And so we should note first and foremost that I'm sure no one holds any grudge against you for not only not being fired, but for actually getting a promotion right around the same time we were asked to leave.
Okay, I didn't get a promotion, but I did switch stations. So
now, aren't you actually working on an FM music morning show somewhere? That would, I think, to the average outside casual observer, that would seem like a promotion. I'm just saying.
I might be producing another FM morning show somewhere in Portland. Yes.
All right. So you went from producing a midday talk show to producing an FM morning show. That is, I think, the very definition of a promotion. So all I'm saying is, when people emailed in and they called, they're like, "What happened to Matt? Did something good happen to him?" Everybody, they are correct in that assumption because that is just kind of the way your life unfolds.
Well, that's the way my life is supposed to unfold. It's the pressure of being me.
Yeah, okay. Thank you very much. Well, you know, all I can say is it's kind of like you and I have sort of a twins Danny DeVito Schwarzenegger thing going on where everything good accrues to your side of the table, and I'm sort of the genetic and professional dregs over here. So, you know, it's good to know that trend continues unabated.
Yeah, but what everybody that's listening now knows is that you got all the talent. I just got off a lot. So
yeah, but you know what?
That's okay.
Yeah, but you know what? It's like you hear those beautiful people that interviewed. Sometimes you hear like a model or an actor interviewed, and they're like, "Yeah, but I just don't like knowing that everybody likes me for my stunning good looks. I'd rather have." It's like screw that, man. If I could trade it all in tomorrow, trade away whatever talent or intelligence I got, and just be some good-looking guy, didn't have to do anything, I would completely do that.
You'd take that gig if you could get it.
Well, I could just trade it in for your sparkling blue eyes and that Boba Fett guy, his looks, man. I'd be set for life. I'd be happy just to speak in one-syllable words for the rest of my life. So
the reason I called was I remember taking the call from Pat St. Clair about her not wanting to come
really?
On the show anymore.
Okay, so you know. So we were talking about this last hour that we used to have CNN, and we do again have the CNN correspondents on. Pat St. Clair, who was the CNN radio correspondent from Atlanta, we had her on once, twice, something like that, and then we went to book her a third time, and I guess you can tell the story more accurately, but I went to book her for some story, and she just declined. Did you talk to her personally, or did you talk to her booker?
I actually talked to her booker, who was Laura, and she felt very uncomfortable with the irreverent humor that was being used, whatever, the second or third time that she was on, the last time that she was on.
That's part of my magic.
Well, she didn't think that was really what she should be doing as a CNN correspondent, so she decided that it was better for her to not come on anymore. In contrast, Roop thought, you know, we were the greatest thing since sliced bread, so he couldn't get on enough.
All right. Well, you know, the next time, Roop's a guy we have in the back. We had Baumgarten yesterday, and we're having him again today. We haven't talked to Roop yet, but when I talked to him, and Mel tried to drill some answers out of him, he might know a little bit more about that.
Yeah, I'm sure Jim's got the inside scoop for
you. They probably, I'm sure that they all do like a CNN conference or something every year, so we'll have to figure it out. All right.
Hi to Sarah, hi to Tim, hi to Rick. I'll see you guys later.
All right, continue. Good luck, my friend.
Thank you.
All right, there you go. There's the one and only F. Matt Peterson. Entire career built out of failing upward. All right. It's 503-733-2970, 503-733-2970. Coming up later on at the bottom of the hour, we'll talk to Gary Baumgarten, who is at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction ceremony. Tim Riley will return at the bottom of the hour with news. We'll do a top five and all of that. And I got the pile is already growing so immense. And by the way, am I the only one that gets a seizure when you go into that bathroom in there and you turn on the light? You know what I'm talking about? You go
into
that.
It's kind of like a strobe light in there.
It's like they got the fluorescent light, and the fluorescent light is somehow designed to make you look as bad as humanly possible. Like I bicycled in this morning, and as you know, the bicycle, all sweaty and whatever. And so I and I'm sure they all think that I'm a homeless guy because I schlep in the front building, in the front door of the building, and I got, you know, I'm all like with my bicycling shorts, and I got my bag over my shoulder, and I'm sweating, and my hair's kind of falling down to my eyes or whatever, and I just look terrible. And you walk into the bathroom. And this is like what happens at some department stores, too, or at some clothing stores, where you stand in front of the mirror and that fluorescent light, it's like every flaw or imperfection your skin has ever had is suddenly, and then I'm like rolling downhill on my bike half the way, like it's downhill all the way here, And so I get that cold air. So I got like the whole, like you heard a chapped lips, and I just get the whole chapped face going on. And so I call Sarah. This is me yesterday because the Willamette was going to be here taking photos of us. So there's me calling Sarah yesterday going, Sarah, could you, and because I left house and I'm a guy, right? And it's like, I don't, you know, think to bring like the toiletries or, you know, any sort of cosmetic item with you, right?
So, yes, I carry my toiletries around with me constantly.
You're a girl, though, but you're prepared. You're like a Boy Scout. I would bet you don't ever go anywhere without you got like a whole secreted on your person somewhere. You got a whole little makeup thing that you carry with you because that's what girls do.
I have a lot of stuff in my purse. I don't even know what I have in my purse.
I'll have to go through it. Wait, hold on. Show bit.
Go through Sarah's purse. Hold on. Sarah's purse.
So I got here yesterday. I go into the bathroom, and it's like, and I totally just got, like, the dry, like, I know it's gross, but I got the total, like, the chapped lips and the dry skin from, like, bicycling in the wind, you know, over, like, 40 minutes or whatever in the morning, and my hair, and I realized I brought nothing to put in my hair, and I know this makes me sound just like the biggest gay wad on the planet, but it's like, you know, the Willamette comes in and take your photograph and looking like you just got kicked off a bus somewhere, and so I call Sarah, I'm like, Sarah, could I get you to bring some hair product in for me, and... Do you have any hand lotion? So Sarah's to bring in all this stuff for me yesterday. So what happens today? I get it today, and I ended up getting out of the house a little late. So what happens? I walk in the front door, and I realize as I'm walking into the office that I forgot all of that stuff. So I got to walk back out. I got to walk to this convenience store that's down on the street. I got to buy a big thing of hand lotion next door. Because it's like Sarah wasn't here. So I totally got like the horrible like. I don't even just have combination skin. It's just bad. It's just, like, you'd think the reward for being 33 years of age is, like, you finally, your skin stops, like, you don't get pimples and you don't get, like, the chapped lips or whatever. Got the, my whole face is just flaking away. It's like I'm Long Live Walter Jameson or something. And so I have to walk next door to the convenience store where they sell, like, several small varieties of hand lotion for, like, $7.95. And they don't, and what do you look for? Guys, you know this. What do you look for when you look for hand lotion? Like, if you ever have to have, there's no shame. There's no shame in using hand lotion, right? But as a guy, it's a product you don't ever want to buy in public. Because there's only two ways to be perceived when you're buying hand lotion in public. A, you're some sort of overly effeminate, girly man. Or B, you know, it's update night on the Spice Channel. And that's it. Those are the only two, it's like when you're in line at the supermarket at night. Like, have you ever done this? Where you're there midnight, and there's somebody behind you, and they're buying baby oil. Now, for all you know, they have a baby, right? They have a baby. They have some. There's some sort of a rash that needs tending to at home. There's something that's chafed that needs to be dealt with. But that's not what you think. When you see someone behind you in the supermarket buying baby oil, you think exactly the same thing I do. You think, you know, there's a guy who's, you know, there's a guy who. There's a guy who's going home to work it. That's what you think. And so it is with hand lotion. And the worst part is, when you go in to buy anything like that, they never, like, what do you look for? You just look for, you want something no scent. You don't want it to smell like anything. Because you don't want to walk around the office reeking of hand lotion. And the only thing they had was this thing called Cherry Winter Balm. And so it's like, I'm in the bathroom this morning, like, putting it on, like, my face, like, and as I'm covering myself in Cherry Winter Balm. And then, what does Sarah bring me but coconut lime body cream with aloe and papaya.
The aloe should be very good for your dry skin.
Yeah, so there you go. So now I'm in the embarrassing position of having to, like, create a whole... It's like when a girl comes to live with you for a while, you know, or it's like when you're dating a girl for a long time and she wants to get the drawer. Like, she wants to get a cosmetics drawer, she wants to get a drawer to put her crap. And now I'm going to be the guy with a drawer in my office and filled with cosmetics and filled with, you know, like... filled with coconut lime, the papaya cream. All right. So, anyway. Rick, which, I see you have two MySpace accounts. Which one should I link to? That's another thing that we got to talk about. Because since we made the announcement on the 6th, we have, two MySpace accounts? I have one, Sarah, and you have one. And then there's a MySpace account for the show. And MySpace is one of those things I didn't even know what it was. I had no inkling. And I've heard from so many people, and they're all guys, who are in this same boat, where did you find yourself signing up for MySpace and you don't even know what you're supposed to be doing with it? Like, you have no idea what its function is, I still don't know what it's supposed to be. And I go there, I log in every day to MySpace just out of habit because I'm OCD and it's become part of my routine. And I log into the MySpace every day, and there's all of these friend requests. And I'm not complaining about it. I guess it's all well and good that people want to be my pal. But I just sort of blindly approve them all, but I don't even really know what I'm supposed to be doing. And I'm torn between two sort of instincts. One, which is that I'm way too old to be using MySpace because I'm 33. And the mean age on there, like to use MySpace, it seems like you have to be 22 years of age and in a band and really pale. Or to be, you know, to be possessed.
Or to be like a 16-year-old girl. I mean, have you seen all the high school girls on there? Oh, I bet you haven't, young man.
I don't know anything about that. Well, I was to understand, see, there's MySpace, and then there's this thing called Facebook. There's somebody, we have a story about that somewhere.
Facebook?
I have a Facebook story somewhere. And it's, Facebook is apparently some high school version of this. And wait, woman grows penis. Kids play, there's the whale story again. I have some story somewhere about this site called Facebook, which is apparently, it's the high school version of MySpace. And apparently they're getting into all kinds of trouble because, oh, here we go. Jacksonville, Florida, where all good stories come from. Oh, that's what we got to add.
Oh,
we don't have our Florida sounder again.
Yeah, we lost a lot of our sounders, didn't we?
I have so few of our sound effects that we came over. College website has one UNF fraternity in hot water. UNF, what is that? University of North Florida, is that what that is? Whatever. The website is called Facebook.com. It's an internet site that caters to students with information from... See, on the internet, everything is just used to post pictures of boobs, though. All technology. You know, there's Zeno's Paradox, which is about the closer you get to an object, and there's Occam's Razor, which is about the simplest answer is the correct one, and there's Moore's Law, which is all about the doubling of computer processing speed. There ought to be some sort of law about how all technology will eventually just be used to transport bigger and better and more high-resolution photographs of breasts to your desktop. Because that's what this is. It's an internet site that caters to students with information from classes to events, and students can, wait for it, students can even post pictures. According to UNF, and of course if they're college students, they're all going to be drunk. They're all going to be drunk, they're all going to be high, and again, back to the supermarket analogy, it's like we've all been in line at the supermarket, and it's like 1:30 a.m., and there's some guy there, and he's buying like a smoked stick sausage and like a camera and a six-pack, and you know that there's just some sort of nastiness going on at the house. So it is with technology, where everybody gets drunk, and it used to be, see, I came of age at exactly the right time, because it used to be that you could get drunk, and the odds of photographs appearing somewhere, it was negligible. Because it's like I came of age before there was like a lot of disposable cameras. There certainly weren't digital cameras. Pretty much a guy had to have a Polaroid. And even if a guy had a Polaroid, you know, unless he had access to a copy machine somewhere and, you know, wanted to airdrop them over the city, it's like the photographs are never going to turn up anywhere. Anything you do now, anything you do, any... Look, if you take your penis out of your pants at any time, it's going to appear on the internet. I don't care. It's like that guy from Fall Out Boy. Did you see the singer from Fall Out Boy?
Yeah, yeah. And well, those were his pictures.
And
he had taken of himself.
And it was on his Sidekick or whatever. Yeah. He's like T-Mobile thing. And it's like...
So he says.
Anytime you're photographing your genitals, they're going to appear. It's going to be on the smoking gun. So students can even post pictures. According to UNF officials, the Sigma Alpha Epsilon posted pictures of an off-campus party, blah, 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 on its Facebook website. So Facebook... Because the thing on MySpace is they supposedly don't allow nudity. They supposedly don't allow nudity or anything, whatever, inappropriate or whatever. So, but everybody there, they all sort of, there does seem to be like a typical MySpace user. And they all do seem to be come from that Sarah Dillon demographic. They are all sort of young, sort of wild, they're sort of party types. You know, they've all got bizarre tattoos and piercings or whatever. And they're all way younger than me. But at the same time, it's like you don't want somebody squatting. I'm like, you don't want somebody else to register MySpace.com, Rick Emerson. So I signed up for the MySpace thing like about a month and a half ago when I first got this inkling that we might be coming back on the air. And it's like, I haven't advertised it. I haven't sent it anywhere. I haven't talked to anybody about it. And yet suddenly all of these requests to be my pal or my friend or whatever it is start trickling in. And of course, now that we're on the air, they're just coming in by the boatload. And I say yes, but then I just feel bad because I never do anything with it. Like, I feel like I'm supposed to be. And I hear from all of these guys who do the same thing, where they sign up for the MySpace account because they feel like they're supposed to be doing it. Like, they've got all this peer pressure to do it because they don't want to be. And because guys automatically assume that it's like that It's like that South Park episode where the underpants gnomes, it's like they had the three-step plan, and it was like step one, steal underpants. Step two, blank. Step three, profit. You know, and it's like they didn't know what the middle step was. And for guys, it's all like step one, do, you know, whatever. Step two, nothing. Step three, get laid. And so all guys assume that by having some sort of presence on MySpace is going to end up getting them girls. But it's not going to happen because everybody's MySpace photo makes you look creepy. Everybody looks weird. Like, I get all these friend requests, and everybody looks like a serial killer. So I have no idea how to do it. We should break here because we come back. We're going to talk about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction ceremony. Gary Baumgarten is going to be here. He was there last night, and I think the odds are pretty good. He spoke to Ozzy Osbourne. So we'll talk to Gary Baumgarten about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction. Tim is going to be back with more from the City News Desk. We got the top five coming up, etc. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show live. Part of CBS Radio Family right here in Johnson 970. Don't go anywhere.